Meta, the parent company of Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, is what it calls de-emphasizing political content. Last month, the apps rolled out a feature to automatically limit content that Meta defines as political. And already there is pushback from some users who see their posts on Black Lives Matter, LGBTQ, and Palestinian issues are being censored or limited by the feature. For more, let's bring in Lex McMenamin, news and politics editor at Teen Vogue. Lex, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, we're talking about these apps limiting what's called political content on apps like Instagram. What does political content mean according to Meta?
So Meta's definition thus far is, and this is going to sound really short, and that's because it is posts about laws, elections, or social topics. That thus far is the entire definition.
So has the company interpreted that very expansively? Like in practice, what has been limited as far as you know?
Right. So it's only been a month that this particular iteration of this policy has been put in place. So we don't have all the data on that, right? But people, including CNN and the Washington Post, reporters there had pointed out that this could mean posts about COVID and masking policies near you, or it could mean just posts about being LGBTQ broadly. For example, what's already been limited is that LGBTQ creators on Instagram have already begun noticing that they are getting lowered engagement.
Yeah. Does that mean I'm only going to see posting political from my friends and I'm just going to just stumble on less content from people who are not my friends?
So I think that's what Meta thinks the policy will be, or at least how they're trying to position it. It's specifically supposed to be impacting the content that you get suggested to you by the app. So it's stuff you would find on your Explore page or the Instagram Reels when you get those in your newsfeed that are like suggested Reels. That's what it's supposed to be targeting. However, they also clarified that professional or creator accounts whose content is flagged as quote unquote political will also no longer be able to get any of their content into the suggested category.
The thing is, you know, for a lot of people, social media plays a critical role in following the news. So is there an argument that, hold on a second, you're restricting the news that I get, what's happening in the world, and my ability to comment on what's happening in my world?
Absolutely. So especially for young people, apps like TikTok, for example, and Instagram have been really key as access points to be able to not only learn about, but engage with, weigh in on political topics, especially as we've seen the subject of Palestine. I want to note that this policy that went into place last February was based on a policy choice that Meta flagged last summer, that they were interested in deprioritizing political content on their platforms, which was pretty unsurprising because if you followed Meta in the news, that they've gotten to a ton of hot water over the last decade for their ability to manage misinformation on the platform.
Oh, allowing lies to get out and suddenly they're blamed.
Yes, totally. But as a result, that means, you know, young people are already petrified of losing TikTok, which the potential ban in Congress has passed the House. And politicians are openly stating that they feel that TikTok is being used to spread pro-Palestine sentiment. And young people are seeing that. So there's already this feeling that social media is becoming a really contested ground for information when young people are reliant upon social media as a primary access point of information. And so when this news became much more publicized last week and creators started noticing its impact, then yeah, young people got really, really nervous that the result, whether or not it was intentional, would be censorship.
Yeah, right. And I can imagine the argument being the self-proclaimed adults in the room are deciding what's best for for young people on social media, restricting what they see. Just briefly, conversely, is there an argument out there that, you know what, there's too much political news out there, it's too divisive? Yes, there should be a way to limit what I see.
Well, I'll admit to having politics in my job description, so I may be the wrong person to make this case, but I think that the real takeaway is that the misinformation is already there. Like, the political content is already there. Instagram has been a platform for many years that organizers have used or then had falling outs or problems with using. But presently, we see this with the fact that Meta is really struggling to get hate speech under control on the platform. And so if they're using this really broad category of politics, also including identity, like we're talking about LGBTQ people, they also are dealing with their struggle to combat transphobic content on the platform. And that's been really widely reported. So whether or not there's too much quote unquote content, this limiting process doesn't actually remove it. It just lessens the likelihood of you stumbling upon it, which lessens the likelihood of you complaining about it, which lessens the likelihood of them having to do something about it. So it has less to do with whether or not the content's going to be there. It's already there, especially if they're taking this very like broad swath approach to what the content consists of.
I understand. We've been talking to Lex McMenamin, news and politics editor at Teen Vogue. Lex, thank you again.
Thank you for having me.